Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
God is so good, amen? Just remain seated for a moment, because we've been going through Proverbs, and people said, well, you haven't given your favorite proverb yet. It just happens that today's the 21st, and if you have your Bible with you, if you turn to Proverbs 21, and it's kind of interesting because it fits perfectly with my message today. We're going to be talking about, you know, the heart of a man as far as it's concerned. I'll read a couple of verses for you, and as they finish up the offering, then I'll make a couple of comments, and we're going to jump right into the Word, but this is how it goes. Proverbs 21, verses 1 and 2. These verses, it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." You know, ever thought you were right and found out you were wrong? Have you heard the expression, his heart's in the right place? What place is that? The interesting thing about the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Some people worry about government and this other type of thing. Don't you know God is still in control? He hasn't missed a beat as far as that's concerned. So there's a confidence I have in what God is doing in us and through us, that the Proverbs tells us, don't worry about it. Trust the fact that God is still in control, and he'll do great and wondrous and mighty things on our behalf. If you believe that, say amen. Come on, stand to your feet. We're going to get into our scripture today. We're going to go into Psalms 119. We're almost there. We have one more week. Somebody said, oh, Lord, we finally made it. Yes, Lord. Well, I'm not really ready to give it up, but I think it's a good experience that we've had. We've learned a lot of different things, and today we're going to have another expression of that. Responding verses will be on the screen behind me. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I rise before the dawning of the morning. I cry for help. I hope in your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old, you have founded them forever. I'm sorry, I'm just so excited. Which one is which? Is it yours or mine? It's mine, here we go. All right, I'm gonna do it right, I promise. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Verse 168 together. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all your ways are before me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we've already had a visitation of your Holy Spirit. You're so welcome here. And Lord, there's some things you want to teach us about the importance, about the very fact of being wholeheartedly devoted to the word of the Lord. And Father, today, we just feel that on the inside, it'll be a transformation, that outwardly, it'll be noticed and manifested in to people around us, that they would be drawn to know you, to love you, to serve you. Holy Spirit, direct us the rest of this service, and we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and praise, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. I think perhaps the most profound and at the same time most difficult thing for us to digest is a concept or the word, actually more than a concept, the declaration that God says, loving the Lord your God with your whole heart. Wow, that means that loving the Lord with our whole heart is probably, you know, it's a conflicting and difficult statement to process as a believer, because we often struggle with our behavior that does not match up to the level of our devotion to the word that we believe the Lord would require of us. What about this? Throughout the 176 verses of this whole Psalm 119, the constant message seems to be complete and unfettered devotion to the word of God. And the cry of a believer's heart seems to center around the desire for a healthy heart that will thrive upon the word of God. Question is, how healthy is your heart? Well, doctor says I'm doing good. No, I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about the very center of what you say belongs to Jesus. And how is it functioning in relationship to the word of God and all the commandments thereof? We're going to end this thing in a good place, because some of you are so struck and so beaten down by all the thou shalt nots and all the wish you coulds. It's a tough time. But before we end today, I think that you're going to be encouraged, you're going to be strengthened, you'll desire God more than you ever have in your entire life. But here's the questions we have for today. First of all, do you struggle with a heart that succumbs to unbelief as relates to the word of God? Oh, we'd never admit that. All the word of God is true. How about this one? My God shall supply all your need. And some of you are broke. You have no money. You wonder how you'll make the next paycheck. They're about to turn the lights off. Or I'm going to work with you in a minute. You know, the car payment has been due, and you look out the door and wonder if it's still there. But the thing about it is, but the Lord said this, what we always look for is, what am I doing wrong? Because I believe I'm loving God with all my whole heart, and aren't there some guarantees or warranties that go along with that? Let me move on to the next one. How about this? Would it be fair to say that you struggle with a heart that is divided between your will and God's will for your life? Somehow, someday, oh Jesus. I'm sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level to the ground. You know that song. And that's really kind of how we go. I won't dwell on that. Let me get to number three, and then we'll move on. Do you long for your heart to be thriving on the word of God in divine content? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I mean, just thriving on that. You know, one of the, well, I'll say it doesn't really matter. Kaiser says, we want you to thrive. It's a nice little punchline. But you can't thrive. Some of you just still are at the point of survive. And we want to move you closer to Jesus as we look into his word today, because here's what we're going to focus on. The real lasting change must take place in our hearts. Psalm 119 verses 145 and 146. This is what we're going to focus on. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. How about this again? I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. The part that you've got to emphasize on is crying out. Ever cried out in pain? Say yes. Especially when you dropped a hammer on your toe. I hope you cried out in pain and didn't cry out other things, but God will help you. But no, you cry out to the Lord at the time when it's most severe that's happening in your life, but we must allow the conviction to change the direction of our life that is going to adhering to the word of God. And Psalm 119 verse 112 says this, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Everybody say that word, forever.
Forever.
What does forever mean?
Forever.
means forever. Anybody confused on forever? Let me help you with this. We must rely upon the Holy Spirit to make forever changes in our heart. Now, there's some things that we find that are irreversible. You can't go back. You know, it's like, for instance, they remove your tonsils. You know, I think I'd like my tonsils back. Sorry. They're gone. They're not coming back. But the forever of God it says, there's a word there, incline, we'll get to. The word, when we incline our heart, we give it a direct orders that it cannot be altered by outward circumstances of inner temptation. That's what incline means. Is circumstances will not change your position on what you've resolved to do for God. There's a song, I can't remember who put it out, Rainy Day Christian. I think, was it Bob Daly? You remember that? Rainy Day Christian. Da, 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 da. Oh, well, I'll get started singing. I better stop. Okay. There are clouds in my life. Well, no, I'm getting the words back. Stop. Okay. But the point of it is some people are just kind of rainy day Christians. They have, you know, when it begins to rain, all of a sudden they forget everything they knew. And they no longer incline their heart to do the things God asked for them. Well, what about this? The Holy Spirit will empower you to make decisions on the basis of what really matters beyond our emotions. Emotional responses are the times when we look at it and say, and that is what gets us in trouble. God is surpassing our feelings. It's not that he doesn't care how we feel, but we cannot be ruled by our feelings. The word of God is the authority, and our hearts need to be inclined to do what he's calling us to do. Let's get to a particular place where we have to understand that the Holy Spirit empowers us to make those decisions beyond what matters, beyond our emotions. Well, our heart must be sanctified by the word of God. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. This you should know really well. The heart is deceitful, and above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Ever make a decision that you thought you wouldn't make that you made it anyway? Oh, where did that come from? Oh, I just can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. Your heart will deceive you. Love. 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 I think I'm falling in love again. Love. Well, I got news for you. That love was indigestion. Too many tacos, pizza after 11 o'clock. Your heart is deceitful. The deception of our heart rests upon, let me give you, this will help some of you that are struggling with this. And pay very careful attention to this. If you need to, I think they might have put this in the notes anyway. It says, our deception of our heart rests upon unmet desires, passions, appetites, affections, and thoughts that capture our attention. Oh boy. Unmet desires. I can't preach on that today because I don't have enough time. Passions and appetites. But what about the thoughts that capture our attention? More than that, desperately. The Bible says that our heart is deceitful, and it put a word in there that desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his... You didn't say that loud enough. Oh. So God gives us according to our ways. We have some influence as to the things that we receive from God. Is that not true? Okay, then it says, according to the fruit of his. So don't get surprised when your world is falling apart. If it's based upon you making decisions that are not from the heart that has been really sanctified by the word of God. Well, the word desperately says, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. The word desperately means incurably. Oh boy. Well, how can we have a heart that's incurably wicked? What do we stand as far as something? Incurably wicked hearts cannot be modified or fixed without complete surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot halfway surrender to the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, Holy Spirit, oh, no, don't touch that. Well, no. You can do this part over here. Complete surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you will realize that today. Well, God sees differently than man does. I love this story we're going to get into for the next few moments. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 through 13. This is a great story. So it was that they came that he looked at Eliab. Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We'll stop there just for a moment. You got to understand here that God was looking for the right person to rule or the right person to be king over Israel. And so Eliab says, oh, he the man, he the one, he the one. He looked good, like he's tall, handsome, he got all, you know, he's buff, you know. I know you're killing yourself at the gym trying to get buff, but that's okay. But he says, but do not look at him because of his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. Ever been refused? Come on, I know, measure your pain. They tell you you're not the one. The rest of you are lying, but that's okay. Go ahead, protect yourself. It's all right, it's cool. But our natural inclination is to look for someone who appeals to what we believe is right from how it appears to us in the flesh. Second part about this, our tendency is to default toward things that are familiar to us or natural, to our natural senses. Well, hello, pick up the clue phone. This is the right one. Can't you figure this out? Really? Seriously? Let's go a little bit further in this story because it begins to unravel. So Jesse called Abinadab and he made his pass before Samuel and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus he made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And then he said, there remains yet the youngest. There he is, keeping the sheep. Let's go on to the next few verses, and then we'll unpack this thing. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes, good looking. Now how do you be ruddy and good looking? Well, I found out it wasn't ruddy, didn't mean toe down, okay. He's just a little, you know, not what you're looking for. When as, you know, as the other fellows. Okay. And now he was ready, bright eyes, okay. He says, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came down upon David from that day forward. And so Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Oh boy. How does this relate to the heart issue? We'll get to that in a moment. But here's the thing about this. Our natural inclination is to look for someone that appeals to what we believe is right and how it appears. Our tendency is to default toward things that are familiar as our natural senses. But what about this? We must learn the value in being number eight. I'm going to make you okay with being a number eight. You'll never be a number 10 because there's no position for number 10. A number eight is as high as we go. Wow. Take your finger, go like this. Repeat after me. I am number eight. What? I'm a 10. I know I'm a 10. You're an 8. If you want to be anointed by God, you're an 8. If you want to be anointed by God, you're going to be the last person they call on, the last person they think's got anything going for them. If you don't want to be a number 8, don't plan to be used by God. If you've been passed over a few times, you feel like, oh, and you're still in your woundedness. Get away from your woundedness. Be a number 8 and be the anointed of God. But some of you are stuck like, Jesus, I've been so wounded. My parents didn't love my mom. Get over it. Dry those tears. Pick up your number 8 badge. Here we go again. Point yourself. Repeat after me. God made me a number 8. God doesn't make junk. God has intention the way he made you. There is not another person in this room like you, and we're thankful. Your mom and your dad is thankful too. All kidding aside, God knew exactly what he's doing. But go through this whole profile here. There's something that God was looking for that the other guys didn't have. They're a great statue, this type of thing. But there was a heart issue that was going on that God saw. And the greatest values you have as a believer, many people haven't even seen them yet. And so the whole quest went about. But when we allow the Lord to expose to others that he's truly in our hearts, that's going to be the big part about it. Here's the thing you need to know. The Lord directed Samuel to anoint David in the midst of his brothers. I need to tell you that this is one of those situations that you may encounter this, and I don't wish it upon you. But because of the anointing or because of the blessings upon your life, you will create some enemies. People will naturally not like you. Some of you are very gifted. Some of you are very talented. Some of you have worked hard. Some of you are financially successful. And people will hate you because of the blessing of God on your life. And I got a word for you. It's 3 words. Get over it. And stop allowing people to control your destiny. If God gave it to you, you should be thankful and give all glory to God. I can just imagine the conversation with David's brothers. They were hot as fish grease. Now let me tell you something. If you go make fish, let the grease be hot. Otherwise, it's a mess. Get that grease hot. But they were as hot as fish grease. What happened? The heart of David was exposed at the proper time. For the purposes of God, because he's out there in the sheep, and he's happy. He's out there just playing. He's playing sheep tag and all the stuff there with the sheep, and having a great time. He's just doing their things. I'm like, "Here, sheep, come on, it's your turn." But all of a sudden, they say, "Hey, David, Dad's calling you." Really? Okay. Sheep, I'll be back later. He had no idea that when he went back to those sheep, he'd be a totally different person. When God calls you out, when he's got an appointment on you, once he's put his anointing on you, you will never, ever be the same. And that's going to happen to some of you today. Because you've been on that outer pasture there and just kind of hanging out, and he's wondering what's going to happen. But God says, I'm going to expose you for who I've made you to be, and people are going to look at you differently from this day forward. Come on, say amen, because that's what's going to happen. Well, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. The anointing came upon him. But here's the part. It was years before David took the throne. And some of you are in the waiting period. It doesn't mean you're not anointed. It means you need to wait on the Lord. And at the right time, in the right situation, he will bring you forth and you will be all that God intends for you to be. But you know what you have to maintain? The right heart. Keep your heart right. Keep your heart pure. Keep your heart unstained by the things of the world. But the enemy will try everything he can to get you sidetracked, to get you off on a rabbit trail of some sort. or sheep trail, whichever. But stay with God. I got to move on. We must desire to have a healthy heart that can be used by the Lord. Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11. This is a good place because this is kind of when David had really messed things up. Now, that we're getting into the midlife of David, and for those of you who didn't know that David had a terrible fall. Matter of fact, he committed adultery, committed murder, all kind of things happened. And you'd think, oh, this dude's done. It's over. His heart is just putrefied forever. God will never, ever use him again. I'm addressing some people here that have made some horrendous mistakes. Not only you don't believe other people can forgive you, but you can't forgive you. I want you to listen to me carefully. I'm not here to justify anything you've ever done or you've ever said, but I'm here to let you know that there is a God that can recreate, that can restructure your heart to its original, the way he wants it to be, and can keep you in a pure status. Anybody believe that? Say amen. Because here's a scripture that supports this. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Here's the thing you need to talk about. You can't renew something that never was. I can't renew my license. I said, honey, we don't have a license. We never gave you one. You can't renew what you didn't have. And so for some of you, today is a day of renewal of your heart back to God. Because when you were younger, or maybe a few years ago, or before you had this encounter of whatever it was that got you off the trail, but David is appealing to God because he knows that God is a God who restores. He says, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now here's the part that you need to be careful. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. That's human nature. I won't ask you to lift your hand for this one because I already feel you here. Some of you feel like you're an outcast. That there's no way for you to get back into God. Because you committed the unpardonable. Maybe not for other people, but for you. Because you never imagined that you'd be in this particular place. But what does he say here? Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You know what God gave us? A promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Those are one of the things you can go to the bank on. He will never leave you or forsake you. You may forsake you, they may forsake you, but God will never leave you. And so he says, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. God is not a giver of things and takes them away. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, and unfortunately, I've done it, and I'm pretty confident maybe you have as well. But grieving the Holy Spirit is not the ultimate sin that will separate you from God forever. I'm here to give you hope. And we'll look at it from the standpoint that everything that matters starts with habits that we have adapted to our everyday way of living. Uh-oh. Let's look at your habits for a moment. Our habits will determine the condition of our hearts. What? I know you've never gone to the doctor and told you, he says, you know what? You're too porky. You need to lose some weight. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me, okay? He says, you want to have a healthy heart? Drop some beef. You didn't like to hear that, do you? But is he telling you the truth? Absolutely. Well, you know how hard it is. You know, desserts, peach cobblers, barbecue. I'm gonna meet you at your excuse place. If you want a healthy heart, there's some changes you're going to have to make. There's some habits you're going to have to break. And breaking habits is a difficult thing if indeed you try to do it in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit is here to help you to see the value of reassigning your heart to a healthy pathway. It goes like this. What we give priority to in our life will shape the condition of our heart and determine the direction that our life will take. What I want to talk to you about is priorities. What are your priorities? Some of you don't even know. Ever met the word random? Did you, any of you ever watch Mickey Mouse Club as a kid? My favorite one was Anything Can Happen Day. Today is a day that's filled with surprises. Nobody knows what's going to happen. You remember that part? If you didn't, you didn't listen to the show. We like surprises. But that will not help a healthy heart. You have to be deliberate, intentional of the things, the habits that you place for your heart to be healthy, for you to thrive as a spiritual being in the kingdom of God. And there's some things, that, some habits that you need to break today. If you break the habit, your life will change, your heart will become healthy. Somebody say amen. That's what we're going to do. And these last few minutes, I'm going to help you to get to that particular place. Well, our heart will give directions to our spirit and its level of commitment to worship the Lord. What about this? We must learn to reset our heart in a godly direction through the word of God. Proverbs 4:23. Love Proverbs. Here we go. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You tell me your habits, I'll tell you the condition of your heart. If you don't spend time in the word of God, how are you going to have a healthy heart? I don't get it. I know what you do. Jesus, just let the Holy Spirit put the word of God in my heart. I'm going to just massage it in. Just rub it all over me, Jesus. Read it, baby. Read it. Don't massage it. Read it. What's wrong with you? Forgive me, Jesus. We guard our hearts when we allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to expose the works of the devil. Some of us try to run from conviction. Oh, I'm not convicted by that. God knows my heart. I'm okay with that. Liar. Oh, that doesn't bother me. Liar. Ever had something happen in your life and it's almost like there was a sting? That's conviction. That's the Holy Spirit saying, mm-mm, tilt. I'm almost there, but I'm going to tarry a while. We acknowledge the things that are not good, not of God, by confessing the righteousness of Jesus who has atoned for our sins. This is a healthy way to get your heart healthy. We acknowledge the things that are not of God by confessing the righteousness of Jesus. I confess the righteousness of Jesus, that I am who he says I am. He says I'm a child of God. If I'm a child of God, this behavior that I'm going through right now is not like a child of God, and I need to change my behavior to match my confession. Oh, the Bible says if you're a liar, stop lying. If you're a thief, give it back. If you're a fornicator, lose her number. Can I get plainer than that? I won't, but. Set up a wall that will be a wall of defense against the things that you've been doing that are contrary to your confession. I know you've seen those pictures on there. Cut the cable. TV cable. Some of you need to throw out the box. I'm not talking about the little box. I'm talking about the big box, the 70-inch screen you got. In Jesus' name. I'm almost done. I know you're happy. Okay. What comes forth from our mouth is a good indicator of what is truly in our hearts. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, I love this. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, his mouth speaks. You know what you should do? You should walk around a whole day with a recorder recording your conversations, the things come out of your mouth. Then evaluate. So say, ooh, Jesus. Jesus. Mm. Oh, Jesus. Remember, that's out of your mouth. Watch this. You cannot treat people better than you talk about them. Oh, this is going to get low down in a minute. Some of you are under the pew, like, oh, Jesus, I'm talking this one. Whether it's the president, vice president, Congress, your boss, your neighbor, your kids, your wife, or something like this, you'll never be able to treat them better than you talk about them. Oh, that just slipped out of my mouth. No, it didn't. It came out of your heart. Then it came out of your mouth. See, there's an 18-inch latitude, right, 18 inches up here, because it goes from here to your mind, then your mind tells your mouth what to say, and your mouth blurts it out, and it's over. Got to hurry. I know you're glad. The words that proceed from our mouth are a reflection of what we retain in our hearts. Number three says this: sarcasm and defamatory language are true indicators of what we allow to reside in our hearts, in our spirit. Oh, I was just kidding. Liar. See, we learn how to take digs at folks. Who she thinks she is. I didn't mean nothing. I was just kidding. I was just playing. But if they said it was okay, then you had a few more other things they add to the sentence. We're almost to where I need to take us. The words that come out of our mouth are a true indication of the word of God and its effect on us. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. This is beautiful. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective work by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's leave that up there for a moment, because there's a couple things I need to talk to you about there. But speaking the truth in love. Unfortunately, some people have used that particular thing is, but they tell this, I need to tell you something because I love you. You need to tell me something, right? Because you love me. You got to couch it in that. But really, when you're speaking in the Spirit of God, somehow the love precedes the announcement. The love is in the look. And when your eyes are just kind of blurry and inflamed, as far as, I need to tell you something, I'm scared of you. Because I'm going to say, keep it to yourself, baby. Keep it to yourself. It's okay. I'm good. Speaking the truth in love is always done with the intent to build up and to restore rather than to tear down and destroy. Somebody say amen. Next little piece says, the truth that we have found in the word of God, we willingly share with others in order that they might be more like Jesus. Or how about this? Growth, edification, and love are the ultimate goals of those who seek to promote wholehearted devotion to the word of God. Our sins of the heart have been atoned for by the blood of Jesus, and that's good news. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, says this: if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Simply, that means this: we have confidence in the finished works of Christ. Our heart is free from guilt and shame when we claim the righteousness of God through Jesus, and truth and freedom enter our heart through our confidence in the works of the cross. Here's our last stop, and it'll be the place I think that will seal this thing for all of us. Loving God with our whole heart is the greatest commandment, and you'll find it in Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. I'll read it real quickly because there's much to be said here. Then one of the scribes came to him, having heard the reasonings and perceiving that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered and said, the first of all is the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, is one Lord. Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And this is the first commandment. Keep going. And the second, like it, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. I'll talk about covenant another time. But actually, when we say we try to focus on the Ten Commandments, oh, I keep the Ten Commandments, that's a lie. But actually, there was over 435 commandments that God gave to Israel. And they couldn't keep them. But Jesus broke it down to two. And we're going to work those through in just a moment. So Jesus wants us to focus on two commandments that lead us to eternal life. As believers, we are living under the new covenant of grace, which means our wholehearted devotion to Christ rests upon complete devotion to Jesus and the works that he's finished on the cross. Well, what about this? Our heart, soul, mind, and strength must focus on Jesus, the Son of God. Not on the rule book. Now, I used to hate, I'll be honest with you, I'm confessing, and you probably want to throw me off the boat. But I never bought a What Would Jesus Do bracelet. You know, you put What Would Jesus Do, and they sold those. I shunned them. Probably because I knew what Jesus would do. And I wasn't doing it. So I wasn't going to wear a bracelet to remind me. But what about this? Love is the fullness of completion of the New Testament fulfilled on the cross. And we do not have to struggle with the word when we choose to love as the Lord has loved us. And when we choose to love without limits, we have embraced the gospel of the kingdom. Let's go back to reset to the very beginning where we started. What we're trying to accomplish today is we're trying to accomplish the very idea that wholehearted devotion to the Word of God. You cannot be wholeheartedly devoted to the Word of God if you resist either of those two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbors yourself. Two. And you know, the power of the Holy Spirit will empower you to do that very thing. As the worship team comes back up here, I want to give you my final words for the day. In order to experience a true change of heart, we must be willing to, number one, die daily to the works of the flesh, Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Don't try to live a Christian life without the Spirit of Jesus. I'm a spiritual do-gooder. I just want to do the right thing. Now, without the Spirit of God, it won't work. How about the second one? It says this. Receive the Spirit of adoption as a son of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Pretty simple. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I have 6 children. 4 of them are adopted. All the boys are adopted. I wonder if there was something to that. I don't know how that works, but well, there's something different. Although I love them all with all that's within me, but there's a special bond between myself and the bond between the adopted kids because I chose them. He said, I'll take you. I'll take you. But that's what Jesus said about you. I'll take you. In spite of all your faults, your hang-ups, your idioms, your weirdness. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Make a confession of salvation. How about that? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus with your and believe with him in your heart, he has been raised from the dead, you will be saved. But with the heart, man, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's a hard experience. The last one that I've got for you is, you know, it's the word of God we've been working about. Hiding the word in our heart is our direct offense against sin. Psalm 119, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That protects your heart. Everybody bow your heads with me as I get ready to close. Lord Jesus, we've talked about this whole idea about the heart of mankind, how you live in our hearts and how we can have a healthy heart. But Lord, I want to revisit something while our heads are bowed today, the value of being a number eight, knowing that we felt left out, knowing that we felt like we had to do certain things to qualify. That you reached to the back of the line, as it were, and you chose us. When nobody else saw good in us, when nobody else saw that there was anything reasonable in us, you saw us. And the event couldn't go on until we were brought from out of the field into a place where you said, arise, anoint this one, this is the one I've chosen. Every single person in this room, Lord God, through what Jesus did on the cross has been chosen because he died for all. All your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I need to tell you a couple things and then we're going to ask you to respond. I want to ask you, are there things in your heart today that you're willing to let go of in order for the presence of God to fully occupy you? There needs to be a cleansing, there needs to be a letting go. Some of you for the very first time, some of you for thousandth time, doesn't matter. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and saying, you know what? If you want Jesus to live in the rightful place of your heart, there's a change you can make. It's not out of condemnation, it's out of the fact of invitation. And the Holy Spirit is inviting you today to have that healthy heart of surrender to God, wholeheartedly. Loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and also being willing to forgive people who have offended you and saying, you know what? I'm going to love them as my neighbor. I'm going to stop speaking evil of them. And from this day forward, I'm going to move on with Jesus. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up saying, I need to change today. Jesus is telling me to change. I need to change. Stand up. Don't wait for somebody else. You do it. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that is directing your heart, not you. I'm just going to wait for a moment because, you know, this is a tough one saying, well, what if nobody stands? I don't, you know, I'm not the director of this situation, but I will tell you this much. It's an opportunity for us to get things right with Jesus. If that's you, go ahead and acknowledge it. That's right, sir. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. Anybody else want to join me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's at least 10 more people who should be standing. I'm going to wait just for a moment because I don't want these folks to be standing alone. I don't want you to miss your opportunity. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I cast out all doubt, all fear of being discovered. Stand up in Jesus' name because God is doing it. He's the one who's made a way for you. Holy Spirit, you've been so present today. You've touched lives. You've touched hearts. But Lord, as we leave this place today, it's with a greater understanding that we can have a heart that follows after you. Lord, we don't have to have a divided heart. We don't have a heart that is fragmented by the cares of this world. But we can move into the power of the resurrected Christ who rules in our lives. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your grace. Lord, all the things that you have in store for us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would just move forth in the things of God and that you would do great things in our lives. We thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.